No, it's Just Plane Radio.
Yeah.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I can fly.
Tame it to the pilot, tame it to the tamer, tame it to the pilot.
Brought to you by JustPlaneRadio.com.
It's your lucky day.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
You got a plane.
Call Just Plane Radio toll-free now at 888-884-2FLY.
And the sky's the limit.
That's 888-884-2359.
Sir, I'd like you to take the helm, please.
I'd be glad to. Greg, your co-pilot. That is me, along with Captain Ed and Captain Keith. We are your crew for Just Plane Radio, the show devoted to the aviation lifestyle and learning to fly. Also, connected via the web today, we have our buddy Dennis in the jump seat. And, you know, it's Earth Day. Happy Earth Day to you. And
Earth Day?
Yeah.
I didn't know there was such a thing.
What, are you kidding me? Where have you been for the last, you know, 20 years?
We always want to leave Earth.
No attention. Yeah, exactly.
That's why
we fly above Earth.
Fly above Earth? Okay.
We fly above Earth.
So you leave Earth. Your gift to the Earth on Earth Day is that you leave it.
Yeah.
Okay. I bet the Earth appreciates that effort.
There's quite a few people that appreciate it when I do that.
Yeah. I feel you. You know, I would be in that category as well, but I know you guys won't take me up in the airplane with you.
Yeah. That's what's stopping him.
Okay.
You have to actually go to the airport first.
Well, maybe. You'd think he'd just be able to sweep over and scoop me up, you know, like in a bucket, like they're, you know.
Well, they haven't got
tanks.
The flying car approved yet to go and drop
in
your cul-de-sac.
If we pick you up in a bucket, that means we get to dump you as well.
Well, as long as it's in the ocean and I have my gear on, my scuba gear, I'm good to go. But I don't know, flying cars, we're going to talk about some flying cars. There's some new developments in that neck of the woods when it comes to aviation. We have that to dive into on Just Plane Radio today. But let's talk about Dennis first, because we haven't had him on since he and I hung out at Sun and Fun, and, you know, we didn't get to really, he wasn't around when I was actually, when we were recording the show, but the day before we did that, I hung around with Dennis, and we were looking at planes, and he gave me the news that he was indeed planning to buy his own airplane.
Cool.
And he has the best wife in the world. Because she told him.
I beg to differ.
No, no, I'm
no, no. You haven't met my wife.
You haven't met mine either.
Well, that's true. We'll get them together.
But has your wife told you to go buy your own airplane?
She's told me to go do a lot of things.
Well, yeah, exactly.
She told
her
to go fly a kite. After 33 years, you could tell me. You could just about imagine.
you probably heard it
33 years with him specifically.
Yeah, but Dennis's wife told him to buy his own airplane. She was sick and tired of him belonging to a flying club.
Sick and tired of him.
No, well, no. I was tired of him belonging to a club because he was doing all the maintenance and doing all the work. And she goes, you know, you're doing all this stuff, and then I hear you complaining all the time, and just go buy your own airplane.
See? She was sick and tired of him.
Complaining about not
there
having
you go.
His own
See?
Airplane.
It really comes down to a matter of, you know, you spend so much time, you know, trying to take care of, you know, two airplanes that aren't even fully yours, and she'd rather see me putting that kind of time into something that I actually own.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And so if I'm going to spend that amount of time at the airport, she'd rather have it be for us, and with, you know, the kids can go up there and work on our airplane, and then they can take advantage of it as well, since both of them are going to be capable of flying it. Austin has his license now. Abby's working on hers as well. So,
okay, so
it just
the
makes
key
a lot of sense.
Is to find someone like Dennis's wife, or to complain to the point that your wife says, okay, already, get one, will ya? I don't know. Is that which side of the coin are we flipping there, Dennis? What do you think?
Well, you know, considering that when I joined the flying club a number of years ago, she was initially hesitant about it. She's like, just why spend that kind of money? But then she saw how easy it was to fly and how much more I did. And all of a sudden, you know, so it was kind of like a long game plan here of, okay, let's ease into this. We do the rental thing. Now we're into the ownership thing. Now we're into the sole ownership thing. You know, we just had to ease her along and keep her moving. And now we're looking at buying one of our own.
Okay. So wait a minute. So this was the plan from day one. You're kind of like,
I wouldn't say it was the long con.
I love it.
But it sure has worked out.
Yes. It's a game plan that many fellow aviators and pilots might be able to follow. I don't know. This is I like the idea. I got to figure out a way to make that work for my wife.
I don't see that happening.
I mean, for anybody in aviation, it really makes sense, though. I mean, do you want to just dive right into, you know, ownership of your first airplane right out of the gate with nothing? You know, there's a lot that you need to learn about plane ownership. So starting out in a club, you get a taste of it first and decide if that's really the route you want to go. Mm-hmm. And it does make it a lot more affordable to tip your toe in the water.
Got it. Is that what you would recommend to a lot of folks like Dennis Ared? What do you think?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Especially a club like he's in, because it really is. There are two types of club out there. There are clubs that the members own the aircraft and make all the decisions. And then there are people that own airplanes and set them up as quote-unquote flying clubs. And you're really just renting an airplane. So what he's in is it sounds like a pretty decent club.
Yeah.
I was in one when I was learning to fly. It was great. Mm-hmm. Learned a lot about it. You know, when it was time to do the annual, you know, it was the mechanic came in and, you know, everybody in the club was there helping open up the airplane. It was a great learning experience, you know, and a good club is a great thing.
Mm-hmm.
There's very few really good clubs out there, though.
That's true. That's
well, however, we did find a really good one out west.
Yeah, that was kind of an interesting one.
Why? What was special about it?
Well, they were just about everybody sharing their airplanes, and they had 100 airplanes,
something like that, all over the state,
South Florida or South California.
Hmm. Wow, that's a pretty big club, I would imagine.
I think it was Plus One. Was that the name of it?
So, yeah, something like that.
They gave me a T-shirt, so I've got one.
Yeah,
I think.
All right. But they had 100 planes, and how many people in the club?
I think at the time they had about 500.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's a pretty big...
Ed actually, when he was out there, I couldn't go with him on the trip, but when he was out there, he went and checked them out because of the success of this club.
Mm-hmm.
So they've got airplanes at different airports because it's so congested there and stuff. People can get there.
Yeah.
Pick an airport that they want to be a member at and go there.
But 100 different planes at various airports across the country or across the state there.
Right.
Yeah.
And like different styles, anything.
Oh, yeah. Right. Yeah. They had twins. They had Bonanzas. Cirruses. You know, 152s. They had everything across the board.
Well, why don't we have more of those? That sounds like the ultimate flying club right
now. We went to check them out.
Yeah,
I'm guessing with 100 airplanes to manage across multiple airports, it's got to be a logistics nightmare to keep everything straight.
They what was interesting about it, they were very decentralized when it came to the aircraft management side of it. Basically, they work it under the structure that, you know, aircraft owner brings his airplane to the club, and he's in charge of making sure it's maintained, and the club actually takes care of the insurance and builds the system for people to access the airplanes, puts standards together for people to get checked out to rent the airplanes.
Mm-hmm.
And basically then the manager of the club is just, if an owner's not taking care of the airplane, he tells them to take a walk if the club members are complaining about the maintenance. And he tries to encourage them that, you know, if something's broke, fix it because it'll fly more and you'll get what you want out of it. And it seemed to work pretty well for them.
Hmm.
Very long.
So it's like a
club.
Big, massive lease back with kind of a decentralized FBO, basically.
Yeah, yeah, and like I say, it allows people to share their airplanes and do it in a structured way to where they have some confidence that the people renting them are qualified and trained, and you know they've got good record keeping system to make sure, you know, they know who's checked out in what airplane, and so it really kind of,
they have their own app.
Yeah,
that's what they use to manage everything.
They actually have an online program, much like the one we use.
Hmm. Interesting.
Plus One Flyers.
Yeah.
All right. So that's what it is. Plus One Flyers. All right. But this club that Dennis belonged to was a much, much smaller club. It was up there in Minnesota. What, there was like 20 people or something?
We have 19 active pilots and two airplanes at one location.
Yeah.
And everybody's an equity owner. We all own, you know, 1/25 of the airplane or however the equity is divided up.
Well, not anymore. You cashed it in already, right?
Not yet.
Oh, not yet.
No,
not until he gets his airplane, man.
Not until you get the... You don't want to cut out too early here. You still need to fly.
Good point. Okay, all right. But you're planning to get out of the club business and get your own airplane, And you're setting up the financing now. Is that what it is? You're going to find out how much
that's
you can
the
blow?
Next step. You know, we've kind of got some budget after going through Sun and Fun and looking at, you know, I went through the GA parking area trying to see what was for sale and looking at prices. I've been in Trade a Plane on a daily basis. And
well, you're looking around
what
Sun and Fun. Yeah. Did you find any at Sun and Fun when you were there or no?
There was one or two, but, you know, it's more for me just to see what was out there, what's available, and kind of to spot check prices to see. But I kind of know after being in this club what I don't want, and what I don't want is an entry level plane.
Yes.
I don't want to be stuck with a 172 if I want to fly down to Florida.
Well, of course, so, you need one big enough that'll carry me, my dive gear.
Yes,
it is all about Greg.
It is all about Greg.
And well, that's what I tried to sell him on that when we were hanging out this summer. Like, hey, this is big enough. Remember that that Quest Zodiac thing?
Yeah,
Kodiak. One of those. Yeah, get one of those. That'll work. All right, more coming up on Just Plane Radio.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle. Imagine traveling twice as fast as you can drive. Imagine taking friends and family snorkeling, surfing, skiing, shopping, and more to exotic destinations. Imagine attending business meetings in cities far away and still making it home at night. Or just imagine exploring the wild blue yonder. Quit dreaming about it and get to it. There has never been a better time to become a private pilot, and Flight Training Professionals in Orlando will show you how. Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is your full-service flight school. A state-of-the-art flight simulator, a fleet of the latest Cessna aircraft, and a staff of full-time seasoned flight instructors are just a few of the many reasons Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is the place to start your aviation adventure. Call 407-896-0077. That's 407-896-0077. Or go to ftpros.com. That's ftpros.com.
Whether you're a flight student, an experienced pilot, or simply an aviation enthusiast, there is a place for you as a member of the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association. Join AOPA to get the latest general aviation news, safety resources, and technical support you need to sharpen your skills and become a central part of the nation's vibrant general aviation community. Learn more about becoming a member at AOPA.org. That's AOPA.org.
As pilots, it's all about the journey. But sometimes situations arise that can turn an adventure into a nightmare. Do what divers do. Join DAN, Divers Alert Network. The many benefits of a DAN membership go way beyond water activities. As a DAN member, you automatically receive DAN Travel Assist and up to $100,000 of evacuation assistance coverage. This applies to both diving and non-diving medical emergencies. Dive into DAN.org for details. DAN, your Dive Safety Association.
With Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I don't really need or want anything. I mean, my life is pretty chaotic. I have 5 kids, you know, and I have friends that love stuff. I have a friend who has a drawer of watches. I have another friend who has 5 cars. Whenever I'm with these people, I realize I'm just simple. All I need is a nice bed and a private jet. You know? Now, I have the bed. All I need is the jet. And it could be a used jet. I'm not a snob, you know. I mean, I don't want a prop plane. I'm not trash.
But I can see you fly away. I can see the sun upon your face. I can feel your heart and I can hear you cry. A dirty bird like me.
This is Just Plane Radio. Greg, your co-pilot, that's me. You know, a lot of people think, was that me? But I don't consider prop plane pilots.
I think he just called you trash.
Yeah, I think he did.
No, that wasn't me. That was Jim
Gaffigan.
Yeah. Dennis found that for us. And he thought, hey, Greg, you got to get this. This is so you. And, he's pretty accurate.
Pretty close. Pretty spot on.
Yeah, I like a private jet. Why not?
But in a good bed.
But I'll take a prop plane, too. Like I said.
So you're trash.
No.
That's what Jim said. Jim said, I don't want a prop plane.
He's not a pilot. He's just a passenger. I'm trying to be a pilot, too. So I want to get something that we can fly. I can, you know, co-pilot with Dennis, you know, Grand Caravan, Quest Kodiak. I'm still locked into those two. But that's a little beyond the
My sight's a little lower.
What are your sights set on, Dennis?
Yeah, tell us.
So you know, they say you got to define the mission. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've already realized that
we already defined that. Carry me to my dive destinations throughout the Caribbean. What else do we need to know?
How fast do you want to get there? That's really what it's starting to come down to. So I'm looking for a decent cross-country plane. And, you know, having a Cardinal in our fleet, I know that I like the flexibility of 140-knot airplanes. So I'm looking for something at least in that performance. You know, four seats, 140 knots. And in my price range, what I'm seeing a lot of is a lot of older Moonies and some of the older Bonanzas as well.
Get that frog out of your throat.
Sorry about that.
It's all right. So, I don't know. I mean, is he on the right track there, Ed? What do you think?
Well, I mean, they're both retractable gear airplanes, and, that's going to increase the speed. It increases the weight.
Well, what about Captain Clay's?
Increases the cost.
Yeah. Well, what about Clay's Saratoga?
Same thing.
His Saratoga is a little bigger airplane, a little more expensive. But another one that's cropped up quite frequently, and in fact, the AOPA even featured it in this month's magazine, is the Comanche 250, which is a four-seat airplane, but with a much bigger engine.
Yeah.
And that would do what? Just give you more carry capacity?
More useful load, but also more top-end speed.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they're reasonably affordable. They stopped making them in the early 70s, but they're still well-supported through Piper.
Mm-hmm.
But it's an older airframe, and that's generally what I'm looking at is some of the older airframes.
Yeah, because you want to keep the price down. You're figuring you can get something old like that and fix it up the way you want it, so to speak.
Well, the thing that I found you don't want to do is buy it cheap and then build it to where you want it, because you'll wind up going broke. So you want to buy it with the avionics.
Get a small fortune in aviation, start with a large one.
Yeah. Yes. But, you know, you can shop around, and it's amazing what I'm seeing. And, you know, I've got my eyes on a couple of Moonies right now that are well-equipped with a basic IFR panel with two digital radios and the full set of gauges. That really the only thing they need to add is an IFR GPS at some point, but it's not required. And to make them ADS-B compliant is, you know, simply a swap out of the transponder and you can be done. So that's a good starting point for me. You know, I'd like to find one with an autopilot, because I've gotten lazy flying the Cardinal when it has one.
Right.
But with the changes that are coming in the industry, with the TrueTrack autopilot project going on with EAA, by summer, there will be a very affordable autopilot option that, you know, I could probably add that in another year or two and be okay.
Hmm.
That'd be good. I'm really kind of interested to see what's going to happen with that one, because that does have quite a bit of potential.
Hmm.
Yeah, well, they're talking $5,000 installed for a digital autopilot with, you know, altitude hold and pre-selects and GPS integration.
I was going to say, Greg could almost afford that.
Heck yeah.
Credit card.
If it'll fly the airplane for me.
Well, when you think about it, you know, Captain Clay was telling us a year ago or so that he had an autopilot runaway on his Saratoga, and he was looking at a $10,000 repair bill for just one board for the altitude hold.
Yep.
And here's an entire autopilot, servos and everything. To me, that just seems to be a smarter way to go. It's a new technology. It's all digital. It's, you know, computer-driven, not these old analog autopilots that were there from the 60s.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. It's an app, just like the...
Almost.
I can control it with my iPhone.
Right. So, all right. So you're thinking, though, Mooney, maybe?
Mooney, Piper Comanche.
What are you looking to spend?
Yeah, what do you want to... Let's talk about money here.
I'm trying to keep it under 60,000.
Under 60 Gs. All right. So that, you know, that makes it
because
tough
that's,
from the standpoint... like, I know what Clay did.
Yeah.
For his Cherokee, right? Or no, right? No, not a Cherokee. Saratoga. He said, I should get a Cherokee.
Yeah, you told you should have a Cherokee 6. Yeah,
right. But he got a Saratoga. But what he did, he found a broker that buys his plane. He scopes out a great frame. And then this broker goes and just totally redoes the plane and brings it up to an amazing spec where it looks brand spanking new. And when he took delivery on his Saratoga, it was spectacular looking.
Right.
I was shocked. I was like, This is a used plane? Are you kidding me?
Yeah, there's a number of companies out there that are doing that with multiple different airplanes now. The one thing you got to be careful of is what the initial purchase price is.
Yeah.
Because you can make them look absolutely fantastic.
Yeah.
With all the latest avionics, brand new engines, and a
lipstick
lot of these companies.
Lipstick on a pig kind of thing?
Well, no. The biggest issue is that you're going to pay a premium for that airplane.
Right.
A year later, if something happens and you need to sell that airplane, you're going to get what the market value is of that airplane. You're not going to get what you actually paid for that airplane.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we're finding that in our flying club, too. You know, we're looking at putting a significant investment into the panels of those airplanes, putting in new Garmin 650 touchscreen navigators and ADS-B out. But at the end of the day, you're putting $25,000 worth of avionics into a $40,000 Skyhawk. It does not make it a $65,000 Skyhawk. It makes it a $45,000 Skyhawk.
No, it'll increase it some. It'll increase it some. But what we're talking about here is, for instance, there's a company in Tennessee that'll take a Piper Navajo. It's a 40-year-old airplane.
Mm-hmm.
They completely strip everything. They redo all the wiring, all the cables, repaint it inside and out. Brand new interior, brand new engines, brand new avionics, and they sell them for $1.2 million.
Hmm.
Great looking airplanes, great flying airplanes, everything else. And you basically, you have an essentially, it looks like a new airplane.
Right.
However, a year later, if you have to sell that airplane for whatever reason, you're going to sell that airplane for $300,000 to $400,000, just like any other Navajo out there.
Hmm. Well, that's not good.
Yeah. So
that's not a very good investment in that regard. No. So you better plan on hanging on to it.
And so the thing you have to look at is you got to pay cash for most of that because the bank's not going to finance 1.2 on a 40-year-old airplane.
Or you go to one of those shark guys in the trench coats late at night.
There you go.
Psst. Hey, buddy.
I helped you out.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Up around the stratosphere at 31,000 feet. I'm gonna fly on out of here on wings that you can't see. If you're gonna fly high without fear, you're gonna have to learn to love the atmosphere, and you gotta learn to use those wings you can't see.
This is Just Plain Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That is me, along with Captain Ed and Captain Keith. And in the jump seat, Captain Dennis, who is in the market for his own private plane. So you got your sights set on a couple models that you've seen in your neck of the woods of Minnesota. But what about, what kind of price are we looking at or hoping to spend or wanting? So, I mean, little as possible, I'm sure.
Absolutely, as little as possible. But, yeah. You know, I mean, I've set a kind of a high water mark of around $60,000 because I looked at, you know, what the loan would be on that is manageable.
Mm-hmm.
But let's be realistic. If I don't have to spend that much and I can keep some more cash in reserve, that would be better. So I've got my eyes on a couple of Moonies that are actually in the mid-40s,
mm-hmm.
which you think about it, I paid almost that much for my wife's little Ford Escape. So, you know, it's exactly a luxury
purchase. This is way more
fun. Yeah.
Look, honey, I'm not even spending as much as your car.
Right. And it goes a lot faster.
Well, okay, honey. Get two.
One for Greg, right?
That's right.
One of the Moonies that I've got my eye on, you know, it's a 1970 Mooney M20E. So it's a longer fuselage, but it's still a four-cylinder airplane
mm-hmm.
that gets 10 gallons an hour, but 165 knots.
Yep. Mm.
And now, is that the way you should look at it? You know, somebody listening right now, and I'm going to speak for, you know, the layman listening to Just Plain Radio right now, thinking like a 1970-something airplane, why would you want to buy something so old? Why don't you get something new?
Because unlike your car, it has to go see the mechanic every year.
Yeah.
And anything that isn't airworthy has to be replaced. So it's probably in better shape than your 2007 car.
They made them better back in the day like that?
Well, even today they make them better. They last a lot longer than, unfortunately, the manufacturers thought they would. You know, because, you know, they are basically hand-built.
Hmm. And it's funny when you look through these trade-a-plane ads, you know, especially like in the Bonanzas,
mm-hmm.
when you're looking at those, most of the Bonanzas that are in that price range are 1953, 1957.
Mm-hmm.
How many 57 Chevys are still on the road?
And those are a bargain?
In Cuba,
absolutely.
They're a lot.
Absolutely.
And Cuba, that's right. They're the latest and greatest. All right, more coming up on Just Plain Radio.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
With Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Increase altitude. Stall.
You can always go around. If it don't look right coming down, don't wait until your side is sliding on the ground. You can always.
Yes, indeed, you can. And if you got your crew here at Just Plain Radio, we encourage that. If it just doesn't look good, just go around. We got a song. We'll start singing to remind you.
Actually, everybody at the school is singing this song now.
Are they?
Yes.
God help them.
I was flying with one of Maggie's customers the other day because she's on vacation.
So they're and cursing I said, your name.
And I said, and if you don't like it, just go around. And she started singing the song.
Yeah. And then starts breaking out in a gospel kind
of kind of a gospel
thing.
Dance thing.
Put on a robe, the whole deal.
Well, maybe not that far.
Yeah, okay. Well, you should.
Yeah.
And then just sell the point that much more. All right, so, you know, Dennis is looking to buy a plane. So you've heard what he said about these Moonies, his price range, that kind of thing. Is he on the right track there, Ed?
I think so. I mean, the Mooney is, especially the age frame, a time frame that he's looking at.
Yeah.
Electric gear, electric flaps, you know, good speed. Question, what's the useful load on that, Dennis?
Yeah, that's what I want to know.
Most of them are around 1,000 pounds, so comparable to what you're getting in a 172.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's good. Is that, let's see, 1,000 pounds? Let's see, I'm going to be about 2, and plus my gear is about another 50. So that leaves room for one more person.
Dennis.
And fuel. I don't know.
Fuel is ballast.
I'd like to bring like one more person maybe with us that we could schmooze. Or, you know, maybe
I might have one other coming with me, though. See, that's part of the agreement
right,
here. You know, I get the plane, I have to take a kid with.
Oh, understood. And they'll be a little lighter, which is fine. But we have to figure in the weight of someone that, you know, we can charge to offset the cost of operation
You can't really do that.
Well, we can't legally. Well, we can get our creative juices flowing and come up with some way.
You can share the cost. However, that automatically kicks Greg out.
Yeah.
Okay. You guys, you just have to be creative about it. That's all. That's all I'm saying. You don't want to limit yourself.
How much creativity can you have in share the cost?
Well, I'm thinking like an Uber thing. You know, where you pick up an Uber rider and end up just assigning most of the cost to them, and then, you know, they offset everything, and you're just like, okay, come on, we'll take you on board. Oh yeah, we're sharing the cost, but no, don't worry about the fact that you're paying like 4 times as much as everyone else. Don't worry about that. It's just paperwork.
Yep, Greg's on board.
Yep.
So anyway, all right. Well, I mean, what do you think, Keith? Is he on the right track, or would you steer him towards any other particular models that might, you know, foot the bill?
No, I think he's on the right track.
Yeah. Well, what about the Saratoga? I mean, I've flown with Clay on that one. I really love that airplane. Is that
I do too. I used to be checked out in a Saratoga, same vintage as Clay's. It's a great airplane. You know, 6 seats in the back. Ours was set up for club seating, so you had the passengers would face each other. The middle seats faced the rear, and so it was, you know, just a big roomy back of the airplane.
Exactly.
And then the pilots still had the front to themselves.
Yeah, I was very comfortable in his plane, so that's why I was like, why don't you just get one of his?
The downside is though that one's pushing the upper side of my budget and above. I mean, if I had unlimited funds, one of the Cirruses I used to fly when my father worked for Cirrus is now available for sale. But it starts, you know, $129,000 for a 2004 SR-20.
Well, what are you paying for?
But there's no useful load in that.
Mm-mm.
There really isn't. It's 3 Cirrus? People.
Cherokee 6 would be another airplane.
Well, that's the plane that he recommended I got. But what's the difference between like
when you
go
get that plane, Greg?
Well, I'm waiting for him to, you know, give it to me. but where does the? I mean, what are you paying for when you go from a Cherokee to a Saratoga? I mean, you're paying for
retractable landing gear. The horsepower is actually the same. It's the same airframe, same engine.
Yeah.
But the gear retracts, and now that cleans up and reduces a lot of drag and adds some more top speed.
For the Saratoga.
For the Saratoga, yeah.
Yep. But it adds more complexity and cost now because you now have her maintaining that system. Insurance goes up because it's a retractable gear airplane. So there's a bunch of trade-offs there.
Mm. Sounds like you've done your homework.
I've been looking. I actually got a quote on one of the Moonies, the one that I saw for sale in our airport here, just to find out, you know, okay, what would it cost me to get coverage on it? And with a 50-hour private pilot in the family, would they even cover him on a Mooney?
Yeah.
And, you know, because we have a club member who said it's actually cheaper for him to maintain his membership in our club and let his son fly the club plane than to add him to his Piper Arrow.
Mm-hmm.
So it turns out in this case, it isn't that prohibitive. It's going to cost me about $800 a year for insurance, for liability and hull coverage. And then to add a private pilot with minimal experience would bring that bill up to about $1,500. So it's, you know, not terrible. And maybe he'd have to do a lot of belly cleaning to pay for his half of the insurance.
Well, absolutely.
Go. Yeah, you got to have a built-in plane cleaner.
But at least, you know, it's nice to know that he wouldn't be excluded from flying, you know, a little bit more complex airplane. And since he wants to go to college to be a professional aviator.
Yeah, it's going
to
be a good experience.
It'll be a great airplane for him to build time in. You know,
oh, you can write the whole thing off now, can't you?
It's like, oh, find a way.
Maybe
we make it the official.
Tool. Yeah.
It's the official Just Plane Radio airplane, and we'll use it to commute back and forth between the studio.
I like the way you're thinking. I do, because that would involve me somewhat, too, I think. Wouldn't it?
Yeah, him coming to see you, but not you in the airplane.
No, it would.
Not unless you want to go to Minnesota.
Well, no, he's a diver, so he wants to fly down the Caribbean. You know,
yeah, like, we'll pick up Greg and go head over to the Bahamas.
He has a passport, unlike Ed. So, you know.
Worked to my advantage way too many times. I'm not going to get one again.
but what about the Mooney versus the Cherokee? Well, so what would be the difference there? I mean,
speed.
So the Mooney tends to be very fast.
Mm-hmm.
The Mooney is a slippery little plane. But it's also narrower. So if you're looking at from a comfort standpoint, the Cherokee might be a little roomier.
Yeah.
Might have a little bit better payload, but it's also going to go up in fuel consumption. The Mooney's burning roughly 10 gallons an hour. A Cherokee 6 is going to be 12 to 13 at a minimum, I would imagine.
Yeah.
With the big 0470 or 520, depending which one you're getting up front.
But the Mooney is faster than the Cherokee.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Hmm. Mooney's going to do about 165 knots, and the Cherokee's going to be somewhere in the buck 40. A Saratoga like Clay's is probably getting a little closer to about 180, but he's got 300 horsepower on tap.
Yeah.
You know, what you're doing in the Mooney is you're flying the sports car, and the Saratoga is the SUV.
Got it. All right. Well, I mean, sports car, is that really what you want, though? I mean,
all depends on the mission. That's why you got to define your mission first.
Yeah. And if you're talking about flying to Florida, an extra 25 knots and less fuel just made your trip faster and cheaper.
Yep. Yeah, doing the math on it, we were looking at roughly seven hours, including one fuel stop, to get from Minnesota to Orlando.
That's a bit of a haul.
Well, you start looking at what it took me to take Delta back from Sun and Fun.
It's probably about the same time.
It's about the same amount of time. By the time you park your car, go through security, wait for the flight to be delayed, then wait for your bags on the other end, get out of security, and it was almost 7 hours.
Was that with a direct flight?
Yeah, nonstop.
Yeah, think if you had to go through Atlanta.
Right. Add an extra day.
Exactly.
Keith clearly pointed out that I would never be doing that leg from Orlando to Minnesota anyway. So I really don't care.
We might convince you to come up here.
But it'd be nice to zip over to the Bahamas quicker, I guess.
Absolutely.
But it's still big enough for our dive gear, and it has plenty of carry capacity for a couple people in gear, or three people, four, maybe even.
Two, maybe three people plus some
four,
dive gear.
No.
Two
no,
to four three. Is absolutely not.
But
not
two
unless
three.
We were empty on tanks.
God, they see that's. I'm just wondering, Dennis, you need to do more than that, man.
So let's start small and work our way up.
If you're going to take three people in that airplane, three people,
it's
about half fuel, and you each get a small overnight bag.
Oh, that blows. You got to go bigger, Dennis. We got to bring more peoples. More dive buddies with us, don't you think?
Well, then somebody needs to bring some more money to the table because I'm at my limit. And
what would be
and
the
here's
next
the problem.
Step?
The next step would be, let's get, four good buddies together that have similar interests and pool our resources. But now we're back into the whole sharing. Yeah, we're back into a club. You're back into sharing. You're back into putting the effort forth and getting four people to agree. And yeah, exactly. And,
well, but I'm wondering,
what would be
the next step up? Like a 206 or something?
The Saratoga would be a good step up.
And that would do four people?
Or an A36 Bonanza, like our buddy from the AOPA has got.
Yeah, Tom.
Tom Haynes has got, his wife convinced him to get out of a Skyhawk and go to the Bonanza because she wanted a better cross-country plane.
Yeah. Well, doesn't that sound appealing? Couldn't you get, a steal on someone who really wants to dump their Bonanza for whatever reason?
Well, we could talk to Tom, but I don't think he's going to.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to dump it. That. Especially with all the money he put into avionics in the last couple of years.
But you're jumping up by how much money if you looked at a plane like that? Like
quite a bit.
About another 100 grand?
Probably.
At least.
Not more.
They'd find one at a garage sale, something.
Barn finds, yeah.
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 I don't know. Wishful thinking, maybe. But keep thinking. Go big or go home.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Be an explorer in the other two-thirds of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.
For nearly 75 years, the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association has been a beacon for those who cherish the freedom to fly. AOPA protects your rights as a pilot by fighting airspace restrictions, fuel taxes, user fees, airport closings, and other issues that threaten your ability to take to the sky. AOPA is on the front lines every day to ensure that general aviation and the interests of its members are promoted and safeguarded. Learn more about how you can become a member at AOPA.org.
Awareness and common sense go a long way on a boat. I'm Greg the Dive Master, and I'll tell you how to avoid violating basic boating etiquette next.
This scuba tip is brought to you by DAN, Divers Alert Network. DAN helps divers in need of medical emergency assistance with the DAN hotline and is the most recognized and trusted organization worldwide in the fields of dive safety and emergency services, health, research, and education. Join DAN today by going to DAN.org. DAN, your dive safety association.
Dive boat etiquette is about safety and respecting the crew and your fellow divers. First, ask for permission to board before just jumping on deck and setting up your gear. Once you do, keep it clear of walkways and stowed out of the way. And pay close attention to the briefing. You may have heard it before, but that doesn't mean everyone else on the boat has. Dive into dan.org for more info and to Scuba Radio to get the urge to submerge. Scuba Radio.
For takeoff with Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
If you build an airplane and people are afraid of anything that flies, you can't just take the wings off of it, because at that point, all you're left with is a really slow, super expensive bus. We built an airplane, we gotta fly it.
Airplane, airplane, don't you go down today, take me away, off to a better place, you know.
This is Just Plane Radio. I am Greg, your co-pilot, along with Captain Ed and Captain Keith in the jump seat. Captain Dennis. All right, it is Earth Day, so it's only appropriate that we talk a little bit about some innovations that could be help saving the planet, because we care, don't we?
Yeah.
Keith?
Okay.
I figured we'd get everybody on board this effort here. But yeah, there are a few little developments. I saw this four-passenger flying car that they unveiled the artist rendering of this thing. It looks like two giant fans. Did you see this, Dennis?
I saw that one.
Yeah. I don't know. It's either a giant fan or I don't know what the heck it is. It looks like one of those air filter things you put in your bedroom that you pick up at
Costco. It does double duty as a leaf blower for your yard in
exactly.
the spring.
I don't know if this one's really going to get off the ground. It just doesn't look very practical at the moment, but who knows? I mean, we've been wishing for flying cars for
just
some...
chitty, chitty, bang, bang.
I guess, but it does. I don't see where the car part of it makes much sense, but I don't know. We'll see. That's one thing that'll probably never go anywhere, so the planet is doomed. But maybe there's some other things that we can hone in on that'll be a little bit more promising. I know in your neck of the woods in Minnesota, so they've established some new approaches over the last year. Is that what it is, Dennis?
For the Minneapolis airport, the Metropolitan Airports Commission has worked with the FAA and the local air traffic controllers to implement something called an optimized profile descent. The idea being that they can keep the arriving aircraft up high longer, bring them in, and then once they start the descent, they just maintain that descent, or basically that power-off glide, using less power. And they've actually tallied up the results by working with Delta Airlines, the predominant carrier here at Minneapolis, and looked at their fuel consumptions, fuel burns, and tied that with the FAA data, and found that they saved somewhere in the neighborhood of 5.8 million gallons of fuel last year alone.
How about that? That's a good thing, isn't it?
Well, it's a good thing, but...
But what? You don't want to tell the passengers, like, hey, we're just gliding in to Minneapolis.
Well, instead of stepping them down, you know, okay, you're started out at 30,000 feet, now you're 25, then 20, then 15, you know, having to do these little, you know, drop downs and then drive in. You know, they just start you at 30,000 and point you at the runway and, you know, sequence you so that you can maintain that glide all the way in.
Yeah.
I just, you know, kind of doubt that that's really happening completely that way.
Well, they did say that about 25% of the flights, they weren't able to do it due to weather, you know, where you're either having to, you know, put people in the holds. Obviously, you can't have them descending in a hold. But overall, this was positive. Now, I'm sure you can make up whatever numbers you want, but this is, you know, pretty thorough study that they did, and it's been published. And so let's hope that there's some validity to it.
They saved fuel.
Who did this study?
Metropolitan Airport Commission, which is the operator of the Minneapolis airports, in conjunction with the FAA, Delta, Sun Country, and Endeavor Airlines.
You sound skeptical, Keith.
Heard the government doing a complete report?
A complete report?
Very, very thorough report.
Well, I have. Most people don't necessarily believe all of it. It's like, they're playing with the numbers. You're skeptical. You're not buying this, or what?
No.
Why? What's the problem?
Because there's a book called How to Lie with Statistics.
Well, you know that 90% of statistics are made up on the spot.
Correct.
So you're saying...
just like that statistic?
Yeah, exactly.
You're saying they're liars. Why? Well, what's the problem? In theory, it makes sense. If you don't have to use the engines, you're going to save fuel, right?
Well, in theory, yeah.
But and what's the problem?
The theory is that, you know, jet engines... We all know that jet engines are much more efficient at high altitude.
Yeah.
So get them up high quick, keep them up high long, and then just let them... You know, bring the power to idle and glide all the way down. But realistically, it just doesn't happen in real life. It's a great theory, but to this day, it just doesn't happen very often.
Why is that?
A lot of these arrivals and everything else that they want to do, they just can't do it because of things like weather and other traffic that gets in the way that you just cannot
A descent into an airport because too much traffic, wind issues, or whatever.
When they privatize ATC
and
they get rid of all general aviation traffic, then they could do it.
That's right. Then they'll be able to do it.
So let the computers,
there was no sarcasm in that whatsoever.
No,
let the computers take control, and then this actually may make sense. So in theory, it's a theory that works, and they say, whether you agree with it or not, they say they're showing that it does make sense. But because of the human element, it makes it very difficult to actually apply it on a much bigger scale, is what you're saying.
Yes.
Okay. So we're all doomed until the computers come and take over and save the human race?
No, but, I mean, there's other things that you have to deal with, such as Indianapolis Center. I mean, just about, unless you're coming in from the west, if you're coming anywhere from the east coast, you're going through Indianapolis Center. And everybody knows that Indianapolis Center is the worst center in the whole United States.
Oh, I'm sure they love hearing that.
Well,
why is Indianapolis Center so bad? I'm supposed to fly into Indianapolis in August.
Oh, good luck with that.
Yeah, really?
Yeah.
Well, what's so bad about Indianapolis?
The procedures that they have in Indy Center.
Yeah. Is it because of the race car stuff?
Granted, they are in the center of the country, so they got traffic coming in from all different directions.
Right.
But I can't tell you how many times that I've taken off from New York heading towards the Midwest and had to slow to minimum practical airspeed as soon as I take off. And that's how you fly all the way back. Now, is that fuel economical?
I'm guessing not.
And it's just the way that Indy Center works traffic.
Well, they don't care about fuel in Indianapolis. They're speed demons. You know, they get the races there,
in this case, no. They
really don't. I've actually come back from New York to Cincinnati at 8,000 feet just so I could get out and get going.
Well, that doesn't sound very efficient.
No, not in a jet.
All right. We'll leave it on that note for Earth Day. We're all doomed. Till next time, remember, there's no better high
than learning to fly.
Just Plane Radio is brought to you by JustPlaneRadio.com.
I say we take off and nuke the entire site from orbit.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
It's the only way to be sure.
Just Plane Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated.
But just plain wrong.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past shows worldwide over the internet at JustPlaneRadio.com.
I'm going to lead my people up to the radio tower.
So tell a friend and take off every week with Just Plane Radio.
And I'm going to make a call.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Listen up, everybody. I have some news.
The opinions you just heard on Just Plane Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
We are screwed.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
A little too far. Cross the line.
There are many factors to consider before learning to fly.
What is your problem?
So make sure you do your own research and get the proper instruction before your exploration into aviation.
Thank you very much, sir.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at JustPlaneRadio.com.